Sheep. One sheep proclaims. He's gone off to look for that one again. That, what's her name? I saw him counting and she's missing again. No telling where she got off to. Another response about the shepherd. The shepherd hasn't been here a full day and I can't think when. He ought to remember what this fold is for and start paying attention to the reason he was hired in the first place. Well, I say if that mutton-headed sheep wants to stay out on a rocky crag, then let her. She hasn't contributed one thing to this fold since she got here. I don't think I'd even recognize her if I saw her. We turn our attention back to the shepherd and the lone sheep he has gone to save. As the shepherd returned and caught sight of the watchfire in front of the fold, his pace quickened. He spoke the same soothing words to the sheep on his shoulders that he had been repeating since he found her alone in the dark. At the same moment, the sheep caught the familiar scent. She knew this place, and her heart froze. She had once sought out this place. She had come to be fed, and to be warm, to be safe. The fold had offered her refuge, and the shepherd was good. But she had heard the conversations and had seen the looks. Loneliness was less hostile than the judgment of the fold. She turned her head so one eye could see where she was being carried, and a wide rim of white encircled that eye. Her hooves began to jerk as she tried to free herself from the shepherd's grip. He held her tightly, and she sighed with resignation. The shepherd neared the outside of the door and smiled with satisfaction and relief. The group in the fold scowled at the inside of the door with resentment and accusation. The restored sheep planned how she would get away the next day. You see, the good shepherd does not demand that we change to be recognized. We do not need to contort ourselves into something more acceptable, more palatable, more convenient for those who would prefer us to be different. No, as the story I read and as the scripture, the good shepherd knows us as we are, and still we are claimed. But today's gospel is not just a comfort to us. It's also a call to action. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. As humans, we have two innate emotional needs that surpass understanding. The first is the desire to connect with our Creator, and the second is a longing for belonging. By the age of 3, children already associate supernatural powers with immortality and God, despite never being explicitly taught about who God is. Even atheists and agnostics have at some point questioned the existence of God, and many continue to do so. Belonging is such a fundamental human need that when we do not feel it, we experience deep emotional and psychological consequences. So if people have this innate desire to search for God and emotional need for belonging, why is church membership declining at such a rapid rate? For the first time in over 80 years, membership in houses of worship has dropped below 50%. In 2020, only 47% of Americans reported belonging to a church, synagogue, or mosque. That decline is a 21st century phenomenon. As recently as 1999, membership was 70%, only 3% lower than when the survey was first published in 2018. It had dropped 50%. Through the sexual revolution of the 60s, the Vietnam War, and disco of the 70s, the drugs and money of the 80s, churches survived. But now, today, when more people seem to be concerned with social justice, environmental conservation, and human rights, church membership is in rapid decline. This decline does not mean people have lost faith. In fact, America remains one of the most religious countries in the world. The need for a connection to our Creator is greater than ever. America's largest religious group is now called the Nones, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. These are the individuals who identify as religiously unaffiliated. While it is often assumed that younger generations are abandoning religion, the reality is much more complex. Young adults today are 4 times more likely than those a generation ago to identify as religiously unaffiliated. Yet they are also the ones who report less purpose and meaning in their day-to-day lives. But this break in religious affiliation is most significant among those born after 1970. Many who once identified with the religious tradition have left, not because they lost faith, because they no longer found a home in the fold. So people are not abandoning God. They're abandoning churches that have failed to embrace them. A majority of the religiously unaffiliated were once part of a faith community, with 25% leaving the tradition in which they were raised. But leaving a church, a fold of the flock, does not mean a person is no longer part of God's flock. For Jesus said, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." As we build our churches, this church, do we place fences that keep others out, or do we welcome those who seek to return? Do we represent the expansiveness of God's flock, or have we confined ourselves to a fold mentality? Many young adults say that churches, not this one, feel like country clubs, only for insiders, a place where the sheep do not reflect the shepherd. So what fences can we take down to encourage those who have been lost in their own folds? How can we welcome those who carry the burdens of rejection? Jesus tells us plainly, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In fact, he tells Peter, the rock on which he would build his church, three times. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love him?" Peter, hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." That is our call to action, to love fearlessly and unapologetically. So I ask you today, as we eat, do you love Christ? Feed the lambs. Do you love Christ? Tend the sheep. Do you love Christ? Feed the sheep.